marvelous to see so many here today. I'm glad you're here. Really good to see your parents, Steve. Your family's here. Good to see Ben and Kim Cook here, your mentor. Steve was our intern back in 2008, and Ben was his mentor then. It's good to have you. Good to see so many on such a great day. It probably wouldn't surprise you for me to tell you that I love preachers. It doesn't surprise you that I really believe in the importance of preaching. And so today is really a special day when we say, this is the man who's going to be our preacher from this point on. In Romans, the 10th chapter, it says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so it's important to have a preacher. And a preacher needs to be sent. He needs to be appointed. He needs to be commissioned. And that's what we're doing today. Paul said that he was appointed a preacher in 1 Timothy 2, verse 7. He said, I was appointed a preacher. And we hear the term ordained. And you think, what does the word ordained mean? It simply means appointed. And that's what Paul is saying. I was appointed as a preacher. I was ordained as a preacher. I was set aside as a preacher. And today we plan to appoint, set aside Steve as our preacher. You know, there's many examples in the Bible where people are appointed to several different things. And I put that in the front of the bulletin. If you had a chance to see that, you've already known this. But, you know, it talks about Joshua being set aside as a leader. He says, we see that he's a leader, so let's set him aside as a leader. And Moses, I want you to set him in front of everybody, put your hands on him, lay hands on him, and set him aside as a preacher. And this often, this is the setting, is that we lay hands on somebody and say, this is our elder, these are our deacons, this is our preacher. And that's what we're doing today. And you might say, well, but where's the example of that in the Bible? Where do we actually see this happening in the Bible? Do we have an example of this? No, we don't. What is said during those times? Do we know that? No, we don't. However, let me just say this. I really believe in marriage. I've been married to next month, it'll be 53 years. Unbelievable. Yeah, I was just a child when I was born, when I was married. But now then, the Bible talks about marriage. God ordained marriage. Jesus' first miracle was at a marriage feast. It talks about the roles of husbands and wives. There's so much said about marriage, but can you show me where there's a marriage ceremony in Scripture? It's not there. There's not one there. We exchange vows and we exchange rings, and that's pretty common for us to do. But that's not in all cultures. In fact, if you've been to a Mexican wedding, and I've happened to go to a few of those, I remember the first wedding that Eduardo did that I went to, I thought, what in the world's this rope got to do with anything? And what's all this money being exchanged? And I thought, this is really a strange culture. But in all cultures, the point is that we are publicly proclaiming that their intention is to be together for the rest of their lives. And what we're doing today is publicly proclaiming, this is our intention, is to have Steve Haney as our preacher, the one who mainly brings the message each Sunday. And so this is our intention. In fact, it says in Acts 13, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, I can just say that we can have him as a preacher without laying hands on him, without praying, and without fasting, because I have not fasted today. So I just want to get that caveat in there. But anyway, that's our intention, to set him apart as our preacher, this special calling. September 7th. Now, this is a special date for me. September 7th is special for me because 2 years ago, I had open-heart surgery. It's going to be a special day for Steve from now on for a different reason. But 2 years ago, when I had my open heart surgery, Steve filled in for me. And I remember Steve telling me that that was the first time that he had preached two sermons in a row, two Sundays in a row. And it went from two Sundays in a row to about 12 Sundays, if I remember, in a row. And one of the things that was so amazing for me is he was a good preacher when he started that filling in. And he was even better when he stopped. And he just keeps on improving. And I'm impressed with his improvement. And, you know, one thing you say about Steve that you can't say about me is he's got potential. I'm getting older. And it's time for me to step aside. Now, some of you have misunderstood this, and this has never been said. Some of you think I'm retiring. I'm not retiring. I'm just not preaching any longer. There's two different things, I guess. And the other thing is that we always kind of emphasize a team ministry here, and we're still going to have this team ministry going on. But I'm thankful that Steve is willing and capable to start preaching every Sunday for us. And this is wonderful. And so as we go into this, I wanted to call our attention to a very important scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn aside their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In a minute, we're going to commission him with this charge, but I wanted to break this down just a bit. He starts off with, I solemnly charge you. He's letting them know this is a very serious charge. This is a serious, strong exhortation. And then he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. What he's saying is, this is a really strong exhortation. And then he says, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. This is a off the chart strong exhortation. It's as if he's getting in his face and screaming, I want you to know how serious this charge is. I want you to know this is a solemn charge, and we're going to bring a solemn charge to him today. And this is it. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And Paul put a clear meaning to what he meant by this. As you go through 2 Timothy, you can see these admonitions over and over and these teachings over and over. Back in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, he says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. That's the word he wants him to preach. This word that has given him such assurance that Jesus would always be there with him. This word that is a standard of sound words that bring us faith and love in Jesus. And then he goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That's the word that he wants him to preach. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then in the fourth chapter, he says, that's the word I want you to preach. Preach this word. And so he solemnly charges him to proclaim the word. And then, let me just go back. Proclaim it. We're not here to do miracles, obviously. And we're not here to baptize. 1 Corinthians tells them we don't here to baptize. We're here to preach Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. The church began not with the skill of Peter, but with the gospel. The power of the gospel preached caused those people to be saved, not the skill of Peter. And so this is the power behind the pulpit. It is not me, it's not Steve. I do not speak, and the preacher does not speak for God. We are not here to speak for God. We are not God. What we are here to do is to allow God to speak through us. To allow you to hear the voice of God through us, to have the skill to at least try to get out of the way so God can speak through us. I don't write the mail, I just deliver it. And so if you get upset with the preacher, you're just getting upset with God. If you say, I disagree with you there, I'll say, well, let's see how you disagree with God here in 2 Timothy 4 or whatever. But we're not here to speak for ourselves, we're here to preach for God. You say, well, why do we spend so much time of our worship in a sermon? I mean, sometimes half the service can be a sermon. Sometimes even more than half the service. Why do you spend so much time? Because this is the time for God. It's the time to see if God has a message for me today. Is he preaching to me today? And we should allow God to preach. You cut preaching out of the service, and you've cut God out of the service. And so that's what this is so important. Preachers, we're not here to judge you or condemn you or to police you. We're here to herald the word of God. You know, lately, it seems like we've got on this kick on our TV shows. We've been watching these king shows. There's a whole bunch of these kings and queen shows. Mostly from England, and these are about the British royalty, and I never knew that such scandalous stuff went on in the history of England. But one of the things that's interesting is that this guy will come with a paper. It's from the king, and man, everybody pays attention. Doesn't matter what it is. This is the king's message. This is the king's seal. And he says, if you lay down your arms and swear your allegiance to me, I will forgive you all these things and I will allow you half part of my treasures. And that's what we are. We're just the herald from the king. We have the king's book, the king's seal here. And we're trying to say, he said to you, if you swear your allegiance to him, he'll forgive you of your sins and he'll allow you to be part of his kingdom and his treasure is being shared with you. Such a great, great, great imagery. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, he says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It's through us fragile preachers, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. I mean, how would God allow us to herald his powerful message? He's putting this treasure in earthen vessels, but that's what he's done. And so he tells us to preach that word. And then he says, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He's saying, be ready and also be courageous. Be courageous. By its very nature, preaching is confrontational. Sometimes the response is, like in Acts, the second chapter, people humbly coming and wanting to respond, and 3,000 people are baptized. Sometimes it concludes with a beating and a trip to jail, like in Acts, the 16th chapter. So you have to be courageous, because you don't know what's going to happen. And he gives the reason for this. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. This is his main argument, by the way. There's going to come a time. God's message of salvation, his message of repentance, is not always going to be popular. In fact, in the previous part of chapter 4 here, or actually back in chapter 3, verses 1 following, he says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. You say boastful, arrogant, they're going to be proud. They'll show their pride. Revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, not just gossips, but malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of self, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. He's saying, be courageous, for the time will come when people will be like this. I mean, you look at that list of sinful behaviors, you think, can that happen here? Absolutely. Can that happen in Oregon City? Yes, it has happened here before. We've had people who have been this way. We've had people who've wanted to accumulate for themselves teachers to their own thing. Not just one or two. He says they'll accumulate teachers. It'll happen in herds. And it might be your family, might be your friends, might be church leaders that call you to compromise, want you to affirm things that you shouldn't be affirming, want you to promote things you shouldn't be promoting. So the charge here is be courageous. Stay with it. And then verse 5, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. In other words, he's saying, don't give up. Keep on going. Don't give up. Be sober. And one of the great things here is, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking of Steve. Steve's shown great wisdom since he's been here. He's got a lot of common sense. I appreciate that. Endure hardship. This is one of the few jobs that you get, which at the very beginning, God says, this isn't going to be easy. Endure hardship. It's going to be tough. So endure this hardship. And Dale, you might want to go ahead and tell the Hispanics. They want to come up here for the commission and prayer. They want to be part of this, Steve. Everybody wants to be part of this. So I told them I'd try to. Now then, Eduardo said, I need you to preach for at least 25 minutes. I said, I'm not going to do that. So, but if I've gone long, blame him. If I didn't go that long, you can thank me. So that's the way it works. But, you know, my testimony would be, I'm very confident Steve is going to be a great preacher here. He is up for the task. He is able. He's capable. He's a yes man in a good way. He's willing to do whatever task needs to be done. I've seen him do so many things, and I'm confident in him. And I know the elders agree with me. That they believe that he's going to do a good job. If there's not a heavier burden upon you already, we're going to place this great burden upon you that we're confident. And so I'm going to have Steve and the elders come and join me, and we'll give the Hispanics a few moments to gather their thoughts and come join us. You know, I was contemplating. I thought, well, maybe we should stop here and sing the invitation song then give them time. But then I saw that the invitation song was, the Lord is able to deliver me. And I thought, well, that's not a good time, you know. You hate when the song leader leads ready to suffer right before your sermon and things like that. So I thought, maybe that's not a good one. We'll wait for afterward. So just be patient. But it's really hard for me to have the silence. And I think they're singing a song. So let's go ahead and go forward, and we'll at least have this commission. Come on up, and we'll let Steve take a lead here.
When Paul wrote this to Timothy, He referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. And so there's some honor here as I read this charge to Steve, my son-in-law, who is like one of my children. I haven't stolen him from you, Sue. I just count him as one of mine. And I know I got to be on the good side of moms always. But we have a very good relationship, and so I'm very proud to stand before you and read this commission, this charge to you. Steve, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Be sober in all things, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Steve, do you accept this charge and this challenge that's been set before you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray now. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Amen.
Bless Steve as he takes on this ministry of preaching here at Oregon City. Fill him with your spirit. Guide him into your spiritual truths and put your words into his mouth. Fill his heart with love, forgiveness, and self-control. Give him boldness to proclaim your word with humility. Give Steve a listening ear and fill him with your wisdom and patience as he ministers to us. Be with the congregation that they will respond to his ministry with encouragement and support and be motivated to do the works of God.
Amen.
Bless his family as they support and share in his ministry. Bless Steve and all of us as we grow and mature together into the likeness of your Son.
Yes.
Be with the elders as we work with Steve to feed your flock and to discern your will in your church that meets here. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we have time for a congregational response, and if you want to make this promise, if you're agreeing with this promise, I want you to signify at the end of it by saying, Amen. Will you promise to support and encourage Steve?
Amen.
Amen. You want to say anything? You don't have to, but you can.
You know, I've been asked a lot recently, am I excited for this, being the preacher? And my answer has been, yeah, kind of. I've over the last couple of years, as Ron said, I've been doing quite a bit of preaching. And to me, it's just, instead of preaching twice a month, I'm now preaching four times a month. But what I really want to address is our teenagers, because my heart is still in youth ministry. And when the elders asked me, would you be willing to become the preacher? I said, yes, as long as I can still do the youth ministry. Because to me, preaching the Word of God is fantastic, but to me, there's nothing better than preaching the Word of God to teenagers who are still searching and still trying to figure out what does faith look like. And so if some of my sermons seem like I'm preaching to teenagers, it's exactly what I'm doing. Because to me, our teenagers, I've always hated the phrase, our teens are the church of tomorrow. No, they're the church of today.
Amen.
But they're the leaders of the church tomorrow. They're leading in some ways, and we have some fantastic, amazing teenagers here at Oregon City. And my heart is developing them into the leaders that the church needs.
That's right.
And we need good leaders. And we've got some.
Amen. Well, we're going to celebrate after worship today with a potluck, and everybody's invited. And You know, this is all about the gospel of Jesus. We were lost in sin, but with Christ we have forgiveness, and we have His presence with us, and we have the hope of eternal life. And there's always that possibility. There's one here that has not embraced that, and we want to offer what we call an invitation to say, won't you do it today? Won't you do it now? Won't you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, put on Christ in baptism, be made in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, be born again to walk in newness of life? And so we're going to offer the invitation, and if you want to respond to that, you can do so. Let's stand and sing together.